Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 98, The Power of Positioning. Not that kind of positioning, you pervert.
Mixing business with politics. This is The Nathan Fraser Show.
Yo, what is up, free market squad? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, high priest of propaganda, back up in this biatch. And we're going to be talking about the power of positioning, why positioning is so important in marketing. And I'm going to start off with a little bit of a story. So the other day I was going through one of my friends' Facebook profiles, Landon Porter. You probably know who he is. I was scrolling through his Facebook profile and his little intro, the intro section where most people that are trying to like do social media marketing, they have like some super awesome saying about how great they are or what they can do for you. Hi, I help business owners get more money through the power of whatever and whatever. I help business owners improve their brand by blah, 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 blah. Well, Landon Porter has a really funny thing in that little section of his Facebook profile. He has something that says, blah, 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 witty statement goes here. And I started cracking up when I saw it. And a lot of people might look at that and wonder, why did he do that? Why didn't he talk about how awesome Sales Gorilla is? Why didn't he talk about what he helps people do? He does so much to help people get sales. Why didn't he mention that? Why instead of putting his little profile funnel part there about what he does for people and how they can find out more, why did he put blah, 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 witty statement goes here? Why did he do that? Well, what he's doing is he's positioning himself very subtly, and I'm going to get into that. I'm going to explain a little bit more, but before I explain why he did that, I'm going to go to some more recognizable examples of what positioning is. So probably the most recognizable example of positioning would be Netflix. Netflix, when they first came out, they did a wonderful job of positioning, and they blew everybody out of the competition, or they blew all the competition out of the water. Blockbuster, Showtime Video, everybody that was competing with Netflix when Netflix came out, they blew them out of the water. And the reason why is because Netflix positioned themselves like this. Netflix said, hey, you like movies, but you hate late fees. With Netflix, you get movies, but there are no late fees. And that was something that Blockbuster and Showtime and all the other video companies out there, the video rental companies, they couldn't compete with that. And Netflix just wiped the floor with them. 7-Up also positions themselves as like the anti-cola. If you like soda, but you hate the excess caffeine of Coca-Cola or Pepsi, you're going to love 7-Up. So 7-Up positions themselves as the anti-cola. You like soda, but you don't like all the caffeine. Image Comics. When I was a kid, a new comic book company came into being. There was Marvel Comics, and they were kind of like boring and bland, and they were all in line with the Comics Code Authority. Then there was DC, and they were kind of the same thing. They were very, very safe comics to read. And then Image Comics, Todd McFarlane and Eric Silvestri and Eric Larson and Jim Lee and a bunch of guys from those two big companies, like the hottest artists in the profession and the hottest writers in the profession, they came together and they started their own comic book company, and they threw out all of the comics book code authorities. They said, we're not going to be approved by the comics code. These are comics for the new generation. Of course, that was a generation ago, but the point still stands. And the way the Image positioned themselves is they positioned themselves as not your dad's comic book company. So if you like comic books, but you hate how boring DC and Marvel Comics have become, you're really going to like Image Comics. So they positioned themselves as not your dad's comic book company. Another example of this would be like Prius. Prius, their little cars, they position themselves as saying, hey, you like driving, but you hate killing the planet. Well, guess what? There's a car that allows you to drive and also reduces the amount of killing the planet. Now, whether that's the truth or not, that's to be debated. But the fact is that's how Prius positions themselves. They position as, we offer the solution of getting around from point A to point B, but we do it without you having to carry around the guilt of killing the planet on your shoulders. So this is what positioning is. Positioning is basically understanding that there's a need in the market. The market needs this solution. But the current options out there, the majority of the people solving that problem, they have this particular fatal flaw. And you, as an alternative to those solutions, you also stand against that flaw. So anybody who needs that solution but stands against that flaw, if you can say, hey, we also stand against this flaw, that subtly has the effect of saying, therefore you, the reader of my ad, therefore you, the consumer of my marketing, you stand with us. So give our solution a try. Now, this type of marketing, this type of positioning runs rampant in politics. And like I always do, I always talk about politics in this show, so I'm going to bring up politics. Marketing is a huge part of how politics works. And positioning happens all the time in politics if you know how to spot it. Now, admittedly, the right wing is not as good at this task as this, as good at this task. At this tactic as the left wing is, because the right wing, they tend to rely on logic to back their arguments up. That doesn't work very well in marketing. The left, they tend to rely on emotional manipulation. That works great in marketing. So the left wing has this particular aspect of marketing positioning. They've got it down. Again, the right does it too, and I'll show you how, but I'm going to focus mainly on how the left does it. Right now, we have this problem of gun control. We want the left wants to get gun control pushed really, really hard. They really want to push gun control on people. A lot of people, though, they're not hip to the idea of gun control. So what the left does is they look for examples. They ignore the examples of when private gun ownership actually saves lives, and they attack like attack dogs whenever guns in the hands of private citizens end up endangering lives. And their favorite one is kids. They love to go after whenever guns kill kids. So what they do is every time there's a school shooting that fits their narrative, I should say, every time there's a school shooting that fits their narrative, they're going to attack it. They're going to appeal to the fact that you hate dead kids. Cause I mean, who likes dead kids? I don't know anybody that likes dead kids. Everybody hates dead kids. You hate dead kids. Therefore, you're going to love more gun control. If you hate dead kids, you're going to love more gun control. If you hate dead kids, we also hate dead kids. That means you're going to love our solution. Welfare is another example of this. Do you like poverty? Do you like starving? Do you like kids not being able to get meals? Do you like kids being stuck living out on the street? Of course you don't. If you hate poverty, you got to love welfare. We also hate poverty. Us, the Democrats, we stand against poverty. We love society, but we hate poverty. Therefore, our solution is welfare. Get on board and support welfare. Vote for more welfare. Now, I'm not going to get into Austrian economics and why this argument is flawed. I'm just going to brush over it and go to the next example. Public schools. Nobody wants kids not to be able to read. Nobody wants a generation of illiterate idiots. If you hate illiteracy, you're going to love government-controlled public schools. If you love society, but you don't like illiteracy in society, you're going to love public schools. See how that works? You like society. You like having a civilized society to live in, but you hate this particular aspect of it. Therefore, we love to organize society. We're on board with you. We need society. We can't have anarchy because that would just be crazy. We got to have organization. We have to have civilization. We're all for society, but the Republicans are screwing it up because their society involves dead kids. Vote for us and you can have society minus the dead kids that Republicans love so much. Both Republicans and Democrats love society, we love central planning, but only the Democrats hate starvation. So if you hate starvation, vote Democrat and get on board with welfare. Both Democrats and Republicans, they love central planning, but only the Democrats are trying to fight against illiteracy. So if you hate illiteracy, you're going to love public schools, so vote for the Democrats. Now, like I said, Democrats aren't the only people guilty of this. they're the best at it, but Trump actually brilliantly used this power of positioning when he ran for office in 2016. And what he did was he positioned himself as the opposite of political correctness. Look, we have to have a government. We have to have a president. If you're going to vote and you believe that we need, I mean, you're not a crazy anarchist, are you? If you're going to vote, you understand we need to have some sort of central planning. We need to have authoritarians ruling over us. If you understand the importance of voting, but you also hate how crazy the political correctness has become on the left, you're going to love Trump. This motherfucker don't give a shit about political correctness. Just follow him on Twitter for a week. You're going to understand. If you love voting, if you love government, but you hate political correctness, you're going to love Donald J. Trump. So go vote for Trump today. So you see, it's not just the Democrats. Trump understands the power of positioning too, but that's what it boils down to. Position yourself as the opposite of the thing that people hate, and they'll usually align with you without question. So back to Landon Porter and his blah, blah, blah witty statement goes here in his Facebook intro. Why does he do that? Landon Porter is somebody that helps people with getting sales. He helps them get more sales in their business. But he understands that the people that he's going after, they hate the salesiness, the sleazy, slimy salesman, snake oil salesman, used car salesman aspect that's usually associated with sales. He's great at getting sales, but he understands that people have a negative connotation in sales, about sales. And so when everybody else is out there saying, hey, I'm so-and-so and I can help you get more sales and just putting it out on Front Street about how salesy they are, Landon Porter wants to position himself as the opposite of that. Landon's great at marketing, but he only wants to work with people that need to get sales but hate being salesy, because that's where his like perfect spot is at. So what he does is, instead of bragging about how great he is, instead of bragging about how many people are in his Facebook group, instead of bragging about how much money he makes, instead of, you know, showing off all of his fancy cars and all of his awesome books inside of his garage, instead of showing off his million-dollar mansion, he knows that the people he's going after, they're not impressed by that. In fact, they've learned to be skeptical of that. They've learned that when somebody flashes, you know, big necklaces and fancy cars that they probably rented for the photo shoot, that their red flags go up. And Landon Porter says, hey, I'm not that guy. He represents getting sales without being salesy. He represents getting sales by being yourself. So for the people that need the solution, they need to get more sales, but they hate the aspect of being salesy. They hate the overly hypey salesy salesperson. They're going to feel more aligned with him because he says, hey, I don't take myself that seriously. I still get sales, but it's by being myself. And if you want to be able to get sales by being yourself, then I'm the guy that you should probably follow. I'm not like those other gurus, all those guys that do those cheap tactics that get the low-hanging fruit, why am I so rich? Because of knowledge, and read these 97 books and you'll be rich like me, and you'll be able to rent houses and rent Ferraris and rent somebody to shoot your video, and you'll be able to make money on YouTube just like me. Landon says, hey, I get that you don't like all that shit. I get that you've been burnt by these guys. I get that you gave these guys probably $2,000 for a course that didn't even do anything to help you out. I'm not those guys. So you need the solution. You're skeptical of this aspect of the solution. I totally get it. I'm not on board with that shit either. Come see what I have to offer you. So he has that ability to where those people that are in that position, they're going to align with him, and they're going to be on board with what he offers way more than what some of the other gurus out there offer. And another guy who does this great is Ben Settle. So email marketing is great. Most of my sales come from email marketing. I love email marketing. I can't stand most of the people out there that teach email marketing. Ben Settle is one of the people that I love the way that he teaches email marketing. And one of the reasons why is because a lot of what Ben Settle does is he attacks gurus. He says, look, all the gurus are saying this. This is why they're wrong. And 90% of the time when he says that, I'm 100% on board. I'm like, yes, thank God somebody's finally calling out the gurus for putting out this bad information. So that endears me to Ben Settle. That makes me like Ben Settle more. So for a lot of people that have been burnt by these other gurus, when Ben Settle says, yeah, email marketing works, but these gurus are full of shit. Don't listen to what these gurus are saying. When people hear that have been burnt by the other gurus, they're going to be less resistant to when Ben says, hey, you should check out email players. You should check out what I teach. And if you're tired of being burnt by these other guys, I'm on board with you. I hate these other guys. I can't stand the way these other guys market. This is why I can't stand it. And if you agree with me, you need to know that my way of teaching email doesn't do this. They say email once a week. You tried it. It didn't get you the results that you wanted. I'm on board. I say email every single day. Let me show you how to email every single day. So Ben, Shane Hunter, Landon Porter, a lot of these guys, they position themselves as the anti-guru for people that need what they offer, but they're sick of being burnt by the gurus. They're sick of the fake, overly salesy tactics of these gurus. Ben, Shane, Landon, they all have the ability to position themselves as the anti-gurus, and they're more appealing to the more mature markets or aspects of the marketplace, the people that aren't such low-hanging fruit, the people that aren't fresh out of high school and easy to manipulate and easy to fool, the people that aren't fresh out of college and easy to manipulate and easy to fool, the people that have been around the block a couple times and realize how garbage tier most of the gurus are out there. Those people are looking for somebody who's an anti-guru who can help them take their business to the next level. And what Ben Settle does, what Landon Porter does, is they position themselves as those anti-gurus. Now, here's the deal. People are skeptical, especially nowadays. People are way more skeptical now when it comes to buying stuff than they were ever in history. But they still need what it is that you can do. If you've got a solution for people, they still need it, but they're skeptical. They're more skeptical. And when you're trying to pitch your solution, you're fighting a bigger uphill battle than anybody ever has before in the history of mankind. So you have to know why they have that skepticism. What makes them skeptical about your solution? And you have to know how your solution can alleviate that skepticism. You can't just ignore. If people are skeptical, if you have an offer for something and you know that your marketplace is skeptical because of other people who have done it wrong, other solutions out there who do it wrong, and you also can't fix the thing that everybody else is doing wrong, so you just say, I'm just going to ignore that in my marketing, and you don't address it, then people are going to, that skepticism is still going to be there. But if you can say, hey, you need the solution, every other solution out there, every other alternative out there, they do a decent job, but they do this one thing wrong and it really gets under most people's skin and it gets under our skin as well. And that's why we decided to do it this other way. We also don't like this aspect of the common solution for this problem out there. And that's why our solution was built differently. That's why we avoided that in our solution. That's why we overcame that in our solution. If you can address that, if you can say, hey, you need this, but you hate this aspect of it. We also hate this aspect of it. We hate the fact that most of our competition doesn't give a shit about the fact that their solution is flawed in this one particular area. We're on board with you, and we decided to do ours different. We're on board with you that we need politicians, but we're so sick of the political correctness. So look at how our man, Donald Trump, just throws political correctness out the window. We're on board with you that you need something sweet to drink, but you don't want the jitters from all the caffeine. We get that. That's why we made the Uncola. We're on board with you. We understand that you want to be able to watch a movie, but you might not be able to get it back by noon the next day because you're busy. You got to bring the kids to soccer practice. You got to be to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you weren't able to watch the whole movie in one night and you're sick and tired of paying late fees. We get you. Sign up for a Netflix account. See how that works? Find out what it is. If you provide a solution, find out what the number one thing is that people have skepticism about when it comes to your solution. What's the number one thing that your competition is doing wrong? What's the number one fatal flaw that your competition refuses to address and refuses to fix? What's the number one thing that your market has frustration about when it comes to the solution that you provide? And figure out how you can alleviate that, how you can fix that, how you can make it to where you don't fall victim to that same flaw, and then use that in your marketing. Let your customers know, let your potential customers, let your prospects know, hey, we get you. You need this, but it fucking sucks that everybody else's solution has this major flaw. We don't have that flaw. If you love this solution, but you hate this particular flaw, we're on board. We hate that flaw too, and we fix that flaw. And therefore, you're going to love the way that our solution compares to the other solutions out there. So whatever it is that you offer, a really great way that you can position yourself as better than all the other competition out there is to figure out, where is the other competition failing? What is the skepticism that people have about your competition? How can you address that and alleviate that? And then make that part of your messaging, make that part of your marketing. Let people know, we understand that you don't like this. We don't like it either. Therefore, we're on your side. Get on board with us and use our solution rather than their solution. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. I hope that helped you out. Think about it. I guarantee you, if you can implement something like this in your marketing, you're definitely going to see more sales. If you enjoyed this show, make sure that you subscribe to my videos so that you see more of them. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast over at NathanFrazierShow.com. Look it up on iTunes. Nathan Frazier Show is the podcast. I am out of here. Remember, be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. I'm out of here. Deuces. Oh, and in about a week or so, I'm going to be making an announcement about the revival of the Free Market Squad. All right, I'm out of here. Deuces. A good advertisement is like a good story. It pulls your prospect in, takes them on a journey, and delivers them to a buying decision. Too bad most ads suck. Most ads come off as hypey and salesy. Even worse, they come off as boring or confusing. Most business owners suck at writing ads, and most shoppers have learned to tune them out completely. Want the secret formula I use for writing my ads? You want your ads to stand out from all the noise? Want to know 9 foundational elements that make up a compelling piece of sales copy? Would you like some of the best editing tips I use to keep people reading what I write? Want it all for free? Well, I've got you covered. Head on over to copyandfunnels.com/guide and download your free advertiser's cheat sheet today. That's copyandfunnels.com/guide. Download your free guide and start getting more sales from your ads today. copyandfunnels.com/guide.